How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Cousins crossover, turns it over. Here comes Hood on the run. Hood gives it left side to Ingles. Ingles steps to three. Kapow!
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of May. The money. We're going to break down all the financial implications of the season, what it means, do the best we can to lay it out for you. Yeah, it could be really, really boring. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're great. Today's show is brought to you by my friends at Murdoch Hyundai, as well as at Gemalto. Murdoch Hyundai, the Murdochs have done a nice job building up a nice reputation and family-run car dealership, and I'm currently driving the Hyundai Santa Fe and really, really enjoying it. For those that are interested, yesterday I did a Locked On NBA on just the unpack stuff. So if you are interested, you might want to grab that and enjoy it. All right, I'm going to dig right in on this one pretty quickly. I'm a little short on time before I get the kids, and it's heavy, heavy stuff. Just a quick NBA thought for you. Thank goodness we're not the Rockets. I mean, that Game 6 loss of the Rockets has to just to bust them at their core of who they are and what they stand for and what they believed in their guys. Just a brutal, brutal, brutal performance in probably their worst performance of the year. Listening to Craig Ackerman and obviously emotion was involved. But that was kind of the consensus on the Rocket radio broadcast, was that that was the worst performance of the year by the Rockets against the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard, without Tony Parker at home. And give the Spurs incredible credit. Give the Spurs incredible credit. So we finally get the Spurs-Warriors, which I think many of us wanted, in a weird series that has a huge week off in between. All right, let's get right to it. So I want to kind of walk through some various things here. Let's go with pre, and I'm going to try to characterize him in a way that hopefully makes some sense. Pre-July 1. So we're still in the NBA fiscal year of 16-17. The Jazz have $13.9 million under the cap, $33 million under the tax. We actually had the lowest salary of anyone in the NBA, which is probably good, by the way, because in the new trust, that any profits are being circled back in. So the trust probably made a lot of money this year, which means those dollars can get spent later, which is why you keep hearing the refrain that the Millers are willing to spend. Because I think those profits are going into the trust in a manner in which they can spend. So with that $13.9 million, plus you have Boris Diaw at $7 million, who is a player option for next year, which allows you, if you care to, you could trade Boris and your $13.9 million of cap space. You could bring back a player with as probably as much as $24, $25 million. So almost any player that's under contract, can't be somebody who's about to be a free agent, who is available, the Jazz could go acquire if they can find a deal someone else wants to make. Now, obviously, just trading cap space and Boris Diaw is not a lot of value. So now you're probably trading one of your first-round picks, which aren't huge value. They're 24 and 30. a future first-round pick, which gets really risky without knowing what's happening with Gordon Hayward. And you want to probably trade, you know, trading one of your future first-round picks, if it's for a player, is probably worth it. But the other thing is we are going to need, as you will see here, players who make very small salaries contributing to our roster. So that's the pre-July 1 situation. Once we hit July 1, every single one of your free agents basically goes to 150% of their salary on your books. Okay, so 150% of their salary, it's called a cap hold. And from that cap hold, what that means is that Gordon Hayward, who's at $16 million, goes to $24 million on your books. George Hill, who's at $8 million, goes to $12 million on your books. Shelvin goes to $3 million. Joe Ingles goes to $3 million. He might be a little different as a restricted free agent. There's a chance his goes even more. The impact of all of this is the Jazz will start functioning over the salary cap. Okay. When you start the free agent process over the salary cap. Now, the impact of that is that a lot of people have asked the question: can the Jazz sign a free agent prior to re-signing Gordon Hayward? From my understanding, the answer to that is no. Well, the answer is yes. They would have to do it at one of the exceptions. So they would have no value. They'd have no more money than any other team out there that is over the salary cap. The Jazz, to start functioning under the salary cap, if Gordon Hayward's at $24 million and they renounce the rights to all other free agents and decline the option on Boris Diaw, the Jazz would have about, I think, $9 million in which they could offer somebody. So they'd have to renounce the rights to George Hill. That's not true. That number's off. I had George Hill in at $20 million on this one. So if the Jazz were to renounce the rights to George Hill, Gordon Hayward is still on his cap space. The Jazz would have about $10.9 million under the cap for my math on this. They would also have to renounce the rights to Shelvin Mack, Joe Ingles, and Jeff Withey. Now, Joe Ingles, I believe, is only $3.5 million of a cap hold, but now you only have seven. If Gordon's cap hold is $24 million, you've renounced the rights to George Hill. You've renounced the rights to Shelvin Mack. You've renounced the rights to Jeff Withey. You've renounced the rights to any other free agent, which I think I've covered them. You actually, and you hold on to the rights to Joe Ingles, you only have about $7.4 million. So you don't have much advantage to being able to sign a player otherwise. Okay, so there doesn't, that I've played with, unless now we go trade one a player prior to July 1st or in that span and don't bring salary back, then you probably have in regards to Joe Ingles, you make a restricted free agent, you submit a qualifying offer before July 1st. It's between the last game of the NBA Finals and July 1st. And at that point, the qualifying offer must be at least 125,000 of the player's salary, or 125% of the player's salary. So, and a little more, I think it is. So, anyway, his cap hold will probably be around $3 million. Still same point. So the answer to the question, sorry, this gets really boring and complicated. The answer to the question of whether or not the Jazz, if they could sign someone prior to signing Gordon Hayward is that if you renounce the right to Joe Ingles and all your others, you have about $10 million. So not a huge number. All right, so I'll dig in. All right, so that's the first answer to the question. The second question is, what are the point guard possibilities? Let's walk through those. But first, let me tell you about Murdoch Hyundai. Located at 4646 South State Street. The Murdochs, through the Chase Marketing Group, came to me and asked me whether or not I'd be interested in doing a sponsorship. And I said, well, let's get to know them. So we all sat down and spent some time together since then, have done lunches, really gotten to know the Murdochs and enjoy my time with them, enjoy who they are, can see in the interactions that they really pride themselves that when you do something with the Murdoch family, that you're going to walk out and feel like you got represented by the family and that you're going to walk out and speak well of them, I mean, quite frankly. They don't want people walking around town speaking poorly of the family room. And whether it's Blake or KO or whomever it is in the Murdoch family that's running whichever dealership, you get that feel immediately. Then there's the Hyundai. And this has really been an interesting experience for me because this is not a car I would have thought of putting on my list. It's high on my list now. It drives fabulously. It's got terrific features. It's got all sorts of safety elements in driving the Santa Fe Sport, and the price is mind-blowing. In fact, right now, if you go to Murdoch, they don't even, it's just get our best offer. Like, you suddenly, it's so low, they're not even putting it on their website. You can get Santa Fe, right now, that you can get the Sonata for up to 25% off the MRSP. And the Santa Fe is a fabulous SUV. So if you're going to go shop for a Ford, you're going to shop for a high-end Lexus, kind of that mid, an Acura, check out the Hyundai. At least put it on your list, look at it, drive it, see what features you get for your money, and then you can make your own decision. But I would just tell you that I would not have had it on my list, and that would have been a mistake. Do the same thing if you're Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, you're looking at the Sonata, go put the Sonata on the list. And there's the new hybrid coming out as well. It's all at 4646 South State Street in Murray for Murdoch Hyundai. All right. So now let's go to your next scenario, which is you're re-signing George Hill for $20 million. Okay? That just seems, I don't know if what's going to happen with that number. You re-sign George Hill and you re-sign Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward does not get the designated player exception, and you're re-signing George Hill for a four-year, $80 million deal, basically the deal he turned down. And you are now $10 million over the you're now $6 million over the salary cap. You are we've just re-signed Gordon for his max deal, which I don't have in here. So put in Gordon's max deal at 30.9. You're now $13 million over the salary cap. You have $6 million until you hit the luxury tax. This is having rescinded Boris Diaw. I have yet to find a scenario where Boris Diaw is coming back at $7.5 million. This is no Shelvin Mack. You've now rescinded the rights to Shelvin Mack. And you have not signed Joe Ingles. And you have not signed Joe Ingles yet. Rodney Hood is still sitting at $2.3 million, and then his number goes up the next year. Dante's sitting at $4.2 million. And I just had to add in, you are actually right on the luxury tax at this point. Because by the time you have under salary, Hayward, Favors, Joe Johnson, Alec Burks, George Hill, Dante Exum, Trey Lyles, Rudy Gobert for eight people. Rodney is your ninth. Neto is your 10th. Ballenboy is your 12th. Your draft pick, if you still have one, is 13, assuming you've traded the other. And your second round picks are probably 14 and 15. You are now right up on the tax, and you have not re-signed Joe Ingles. As I said yesterday, the Joe Ingles deal, I have to think, is predicated on being able to clear something else off the books. It seems almost impossible to do unless you're going to go $10 million into luxury tax, which seems outrageous also. So, you're thin at this point, right? Your center is, well, you've got Gobert and Favors, no Boris, Trey Lyles. This is where Trey Lyles has got to play next year. Trey Lyles and Joel Bolenboy. Trey Lyles and Joel Bolenboy are your backup bigs, and if you're ever under any circumstance, you and Derek decide, you know what, I don't want to be a backup center, and I want to play, which he might, you know, and Derek, and they move, and he moves on, then Trey Lyles is your starting power forward next year. Unless Joe Johnson is at $10 million, but that's a large burden for Joe. So there's still a lot of importance there. All right, let's go to if Gordon Hayward were to become, get the designated player exception. This one's interesting because he re-signs at $16.7 million. And now all of a sudden you have all sort. Now you actually have some cap space. Now all of a sudden you have $18 million of cap space to play with. This is only if Gordon gets named All-NBA. Before you sign Joe Ingles, you have, and actually, so Joe's on the books as a cap hold. Without Boris's contract, which you have about somewhere in the range of $14.7 million of cap space. Not a huge amount, but you can start playing around and maybe go sign your other point guard or some free agent rather than, or you can re-sign George Hill, who you have your bird rights. You're rescinding the rights to George Hill to have this cap space. Again, it's only about $15 million by the time Rudy's 21 goes on the books for next year, and you have Joe Ingles' cap hold, and you've now rescinded the rights to Shelvin and Jeff Withey. Rescinding the rights to Shelvin, I know that some people don't love Shelvin, but rescinding the rights to Shelvin's not the greatest thing ever in the sense that if he doesn't get much of a market, he could be pretty good backup point guard next year, depending what you're planning to do with Dante. So then the next year Gordon goes to 37. Rudy's at 22, and whatever you've done at your point guard comes in at, you know, 20 or 18 or so, and you start running out of money fast because Gordon's at 37.8, 40.8, 43.9, 46.9, and 49.9 in the 5 years of that contract if he gets designated player exception. So that's the designated player exception scenario. Now let's go to the trade scenario. The Jazz make a trade for a new point guard, and I'm just going to hypothetically decide this player's got $14 million on their deal for the next 2 years. Just if you look at the possibilities, that seems to be the number that's out there. Now, again, you have that point guard. Gordon, this one gets a little more interesting because now under this circumstance, Gordon's cap hold at $24 million. You still, and Joe Ingles, you're still going to function above the cap. You're not signing anyone else. You're playing the mid-level exception game at this point. Gordon signs his max deal if you've got your point guard. You're $13 million, you're $6.5 million to the luxury tax. You can sign Joe Ingles for about $9 million. And you're still $1 million under the tax. So at that point, you have Gordon, Derek, Joe Johnson, Alec, a new point guard around $14 million. Boris, you've let go. Dante, Trey Lyles, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles at $9 million. Rodney on his current deal. and you're $1 million under the tax. You'll actually peak up toward the tax by the time you sign your free, your draft pick will get you over the tax. And is you just have to fill out your roster. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 players. You'll push the tax by $1 million or two at that point. So it's tough. It's tight. And that's signing a point guard for $14 million and trying to bring Joe Ingles back without clearing any other space. You're up over the tax. And the tax is at $121 million. Of salary. The next year's at 124. There is a bump in 2019-2020, where it's projected to go to 143. The moral of this is that I still come back to walking this through on the various player questions you keep getting. Can the Jazz do something prior to signing Gordon Hayward July 1st? Acting under the salary cap? And the answer seems unlikely. There does seem to be a large incentive if there's a point guard available prior to July 1 using the cap space the Jazz have available, $13.9 million plus Boris's expiring up to $20 million and whatever package you can put together to get a player. Maybe just your $13 million cap is enough, too, to get a player, have him as a fixed salary if they're somewhere in the $14 million range as your point guard, gives you flexibility. Another name I'll just throw out there because his salary number is so much lower is Corey Joseph if Toronto's trying to re-sign. If Toronto's trying to re-sign Kyle Lowry and they have DeLon Wright, Corey Joseph might be a guy without a team. I think he's got a 1 year at $7 million. It doesn't really solve your problem, but it does get you, probably buys you another $7 million to go play around and do stuff. Depending whether Joe Ingles can really handle a lot of ball handling duties or not at that point, or if you think Dante's ready to be your point guard next year. The fact is, this is where the ACL injury to Dante really comes back to bite you, because we don't know yet well enough whether or not he's ready to play point guard. And right now, frankly, the answer would probably be no, he's not. He might be. He might be ready at some point, but I don't think you're confident that he would be ready now. He might need to be, and that he really did need to be in this structure ready for the 17-18 season, but the ACL made that impossible. Our other sponsor today is Gemalto. Dan Spence and the crew at Gemalto do a nice job there. Gemalto is a national company, worldwide company, really, who does digital security, and they bring trust to an increasing connected world. They deliver bunch of technologies to businesses, governments, other organizations, and they're going to protect your identity and data. The big thing on Gemalto is you got to protect when the breach is going to happen. It's going to happen. And then what have you done with your data, your important information, your access information, your critical data, basically, to make sure that nobody can attain that? Someone's going to get into your perimeter. That's just where we are. They're too good. The gold's too valuable. People are going to get in. So what are you going to do once they break through to make sure that whatever they get is not important enough? 7 billion records were lost or stolen since 2013. That's in 4 years. Call Dan Spence, 801-540-3024. 801-540-3024. He's the local Utah regional sales manager for Gemalto. Deals with Palo Alto Networks and some of the biggest companies across the country, Oracle, IBM, NetApp, and they can help you as well. Dan's your guy, 801-540-3024. All right, that is the financial breakdown of how this all works. If you have any questions, send them to me. I'll address them next week, and we'll do player breakdowns next week on Locked On Jazz. Have a great one.